Hello, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager, and welcome to my home. This is actually my house. It's not a set. Believe me, if we turn the camera around, you would know it's my home and not a set. The books do not have enough place to go. I think I own about 6,000 books. And I love books. Not just the content. I actually love a book. And I have since I was in high school. It's like a repository of, hopefully, wisdom. Anyway, just thinking out loud, which is pretty much what I do for these fireside chats. This is a chance just to have completely unrehearsed and spontaneous interaction and to give you an idea of some of the thoughts I have on a whole host of subjects. Hopefully, holding your interest. And here's my trusty cigar, which I alternate, because I also smoke a pipe. I have my dad, who passed away at 96. I don't think I ever mentioned this. Do you know what I took? A lot of people like to have their dad's watch, you know, or their mother's jewelry, or whatever it is. Totally understandable. And you know what I took? I took my dad's last 5 cigars. And I treasure them because I so identify him with cigar smoking. He smoked a few a day, you know, and I wouldn't be surprised if under cause of death, they might have written secondhand smoke, which I hope you understand how hilarious and absurd that would be. He was 96. The cause of death was being 96, not secondhand smoke. By the way, they asked the guy, this was in the Dallas Morning News, I don't remember if I mentioned this to you, and if I did, forgive me, and I even tweeted it out. I was so impressed by it. This one of the oldest, if not the oldest man in America, is 111, I believe it is. He's in Texas. He's a veteran of, was he a veteran of World War I? I think so. Is that possible? 100, yeah, it's possible. But anyway, they asked him, as everybody does, you know, so what's your secret to longevity? And he said, I always give the same answer, God and cigars. And that's why I tweeted it out, because if he's right, I am going to be here for a long time. I am into God, as you know, and into cigars. Anyway, welcome to my home. So, I try to open up with something on my mind, and since there's always something on my mind, that's not hard. But I promised I would talk about this. Karina reminded me, bless her soul, even though she's working on a coup d'etat at PragerU, nevertheless, I still take her word for it. Anyway, she said that I would tell you some of my thoughts on college. Not that colleges have too often, in fact, most of the time, changed from places of learning to places of indoctrination. That I've spoken about. I want to talk about something else. How important is college? And there are two issues. How important is college? And how important is which college? Those are two separate issues. So I'll deal with the first one first. How important is college? And the answer is, it's as important as you make it. In other words, if you can really learn things that and not get indoctrinated, but really learn, then it's a wonderful thing. Learning is a great thing. There's no question about it. But a lot of people don't learn at college. They spend 4 years alternating between being indoctrinated, like gender studies. I mean, gender studies has become an anti-intellectual field of study. If I hear somebody has a BA, let alone a PhD in gender studies, I assume they don't think clearly. I'm obviously willing to go on record saying that. I'm sure that there are a few people who do. There's always exceptions in life. There are always exceptions, but it's not a serious field. I mean, anybody who tells you there's more than two genders is not a serious person, okay? It's phony, it's a fraud, it's nonsense, it's drivel. I know that some people can identify as the opposite sex. It's called gender dysphoria. It's a tragic condition. We have to hug these people, love these people. That's a separate issue. But that doesn't deny that there are just two sexes or two genders, either word you want to use. Anyway, so should you go to college? Some people should, some people shouldn't. But I'll tell you this, if somebody applies to work for me, I don't care if they went to college or not. It has no impact. And I beg all of you who employ, stop this nonsense that you have to have a college degree to work for you. Now, obviously, if you are in the natural sciences or in law, you have to ascertain that they have a body of knowledge. I understand that, clearly. But for most jobs, what is the use of a college education? What is the use? What is the necessity of a college education? Employers are a big part of the problem. College degree required. Why? You have to explain, why would you require that? What if the person is industrious, honest, hardworking? Isn't that what you want in somebody who works for you? They have a BA in theater and you run a beer company? Well, what good is that? I'm not against BA in theater. I just don't know what that has to do with you running the beer bottling company and or soda bottling company, and you say college degree required. What for? So that's a big part of that problem. In fact, I really do believe what I'm about to tell you is probably going to sound odd at first, but I mean it sincerely. Most young Americans or young Germans or young Paraguayans, if they watched all of the how many do we now have? I know over 300. How many PragerU videos? Are we approaching 400? Are we at 350? Does anybody know? All right, let's say 350. If somebody watched all 350 videos, watch them a few times. They're very dense. They're fascinating and fun and entertaining, but they're dense. They have a lot of things in 750 words, which is the average length. And did the readings that accompany those people will have more wisdom and in many cases more knowledge than if they got a BA at college. All right? I just want you to understand how I approach that. Now, the second part is more important because it's not more important. It's equally important. But a lot of people have not thought this through. And that is, how important is which college you go to? I know young people who are raised from kindergarten, maybe preschool, to think of the following. What elementary school will I go to? What high school will I go to? What college will I go to? What graduate school will I go to? This becomes the meaning and the goals of their lives. It is a terrible mistake on the part of parents. It's a mistake for a number of reasons. Reason number one is, what happens after you graduate your final either BA or master's or PhD? If your meaning in life has always been get good grades in order to get into a prestigious college, high school, graduate school, what is your meaning in life afterwards? It's almost as if you look around and go, okay, now what? Okay, I'm 21 or 25, 28. Now what? It's a terrible way to raise a child that the great goal of your life is to get into a prestigious high school, college, graduate school. Because that's not what the meaning of life is about. You're supposed to be a good person, make a good family, work hard, contribute to society, have friends, touch people's lives. Those are goals. Not, I got to get into, and then you name the place. The second reason it shouldn't be that important which college you go to is ultimately it's not that important. I have to address this, okay? So let me give you an example from my own life. I have been doing a radio show for almost 35 years. It's been national for 20, and it was in Los Angeles the first 15, which is a very large market. Obviously, it's the second largest, they call market, listenership in the country. New York area is first. And I have been doing talk shows that whole time, so people were able to always call in. I have been asked, you can't imagine, I've been asked just about everything, as you can imagine, and in my emails, and I have literally over a million emails. I have never been asked one question. You know what it is? What college did I go to? Isn't that amazing? 35 years, millions of listeners, million emails, 10,000 people, I guess, have called into the show. And by the way, I have hours where people call in on anything, but nobody ever asked me. You know why they don't ask? They don't care. It doesn't mean a damn thing. Now, remember, I am offering opinions on everything from North and South Korea to the Middle East to healthcare in America to you name whatever the issue is. I have a show on men and women an hour every week, the male-female hour. I've written a book on happiness. I have a happiness hour. So you'd think somebody would say, well, I don't know if I want to listen to him. Where did he go to college or graduate school? But it doesn't happen. I either earn people's respect or I don't earn people's respect. Either they care to know my opinion or they don't care to know my opinion. But it's never rooted in, oh, well, he went to or he didn't go to. Now, I don't deny that if you want a job with a prestigious law firm and make a lot of money right out of law school, it's better to go to Harvard Law than an unknown law school. I live in the real world. I know that. I also know, though, that unless that's your great goal in life, make a lot of money immediately after college, it doesn't matter. In the long run, the quality lawyer who went to an unknown law school is going to be a quality lawyer and make as much money as he or she wants. Quality generally rises to the top. Not always, generally. It'll take longer. I agree with you. You have a head start if you went to Harvard Law, Yale Law, Stanford Law. I understand that. Okay. So what? So if that's what you're going to devote your life to? Or you parents, that's how you are going to assess the worth of your parenthood? Oh, my child went to or is going to? That doesn't move me. I want to know your kids' values, not your kids' college. Okay? So I just wanted to say that because it's wildly overrated. Some of the best kids I know are at community colleges, period. Honest, terrific, hardworking. They're not filled with themselves. They're not arrogant. They'll do great. Okay, we good, guys? Are we ready to take questions here? Yeah. 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 Everybody happy? All right. Oh, by the way, I didn't even mention where I went, did I? Even now people aren't curious. It's not important to say. Okay. Here we go. All right. Begin with Holden, 19 years old in San Diego. I'm in the Navy. Thank you, sir. Do you think more young people should consider the military as an option after high school? Oh, my God. How do I say yes? More emphatically. Da. Ken. Egan. See. We. Nuh-um. I think that exhausts my yeses. How do you say yes in Korean? Ne. Ne? Ne. 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 Do you have to move the head when you do that? I thought so. Ne. Okay. It's terrific. Of course it's great. What, are you kidding? Let me ask you something. Who doesn't think that all things being equal, 4 years at college, 4 years military, both went in from high school directly, either to college or to military, who's going to come out more mature? who's going to come out with more leadership skills? Okay, it's a rhetorical question. Next. Matt, 37, Murrieta, California. Where's Murrieta? Is that up,
down south.
Down south, near San Diego?
Yeah, like an hour from San Diego.
On the opening page of your excellent book, The Rational Bible, you talk about honor. Can you please enlighten me on the difference between honor and respect? I was raised with the understanding that respect was for the position that one held, while honor was for the person themselves. Thank you. I don't know if there's a big difference. When I use honor, I'm talking about honor your parents, for example. And I open up my book, and I cannot urge you strongly enough to read it. It just came out. It's now a month. It's been a national bestseller. I can't believe it is, frankly, and I have high regard for what I write, but I never thought that a commentary on a 500-page commentary on one book of the Bible would be a national bestseller. I think there's a yearning in America to get in touch with the eternal, with wisdom. And there's nothing that approaches the wisdom of the Bible. It's the foundational book of Western civilization. So I try to explain why, because a lot of even religious people, they open it up and their eyes glaze over. But I explain its relevance. It's called The Rational Bible. And it's the first volume of my five-volume work, the first five volumes of the Bible known as the Torah. This is on Exodus. And I open up my introduction saying the following. When I was in my early 20s, late teens, I had issues with my parents. I mean, most young people do. And I never, ever, ever acted in a disrespectful way to my parents. And there was a reason. And the reason was not love. It was because I believed that God himself had instructed, honor your father and your mother, one of the Ten Commandments. And that's pretty big. If you believe God instructs you, that's heavy-duty stuff. It's a perfect example of where God makes a difference. I was constantly in touch with my parents. I didn't call them every week of my life because I wanted to call them every week of my life. There were times when I certainly did. I called them every week of my life because of the commandment, honor your father and mother. And I knew how important it was for them to hear from me. And I did that from the day I left my parents' home when I was 21 years of age till my parents died at 89 and 96, respectively. So that's where the honor issue comes in. The Rational Bible is the name of the book, and thank you for reading it. Okay, next, Morgan. Now it hasn't a last name. Do I give last names? No, right? 21, Boca Raton, Florida. I know Boca real well. In the Prager Force. Morgan, thank you. Prager Force. Prager Force is the Prager University people who have a special role on college and high school campuses. How many do we have now? About 1,500? Is that about right? That's great. That's great. And I meet these people, and you give me optimism for America. I'm graduating in 2 days. Okay. I'm graduating not in 2 days. I'm graduating in today.
She's graduating.
I'm graduating in Todd. I'm graduating with. This keeps changing. Your question keeps changing, Morgan, but I'm just giving Karina a hard time. I'm graduating with my bachelor's degree. What is the one piece of advice you wish you had been given after you graduated college? Well, it's never been asked to me that way. A lot of times, take a look, by the way, folks. I spoke at the University of Wisconsin-Madison last week, and I think every young person should watch this. It's what I would like you to know about life. And it's up on the internet. It's Dennis Prager, University of Wisconsin. And so I could tell you what I'd like you to know. What advice should I have gotten? That's a good one. I got a lot of good advice because there were wise people in my life, and I was Bible-centered then, too. I thought it was the greatest book. So I don't know the answer exactly what should have been told to me. I was a very free spirit, and I believed the world was open if I would grab it. I knew how lucky I was to be an American. I knew that from a very young age. And so I knew that these opportunities of liberty to travel anywhere I wanted, and so cheap, I had no money. But I would make some money teaching, and then I'd spend it traveling. And I've ultimately gone abroad every year since I was 21, and since I was 20. And I've been to 130 countries. I had a big goal in my life. I had a lot of goals, and I've been able to live most of them. I'm very, very lucky. And one of them was I wanted to see every place. But I had it in a very specific formula in my brain. I didn't want to hear the name of a country and have no picture of what life was like there. You know, like in a news story. Well, the following happened in England, or the following happened in Uruguay, and there are obviously still countries I haven't been to, but it's a wonderful feeling to have that. So I don't know what should have been told to me that was not told to me at that age. I'm not saying I knew everything at 21. In fact, I knew I didn't. That's why I was very opposed to lowering the voting age to 18. I told my girlfriend at the time, why are they giving me the vote? I don't know anything. I was about 20 at the time. All right, Ethan, I'll tell you this, but if I change your question to what I would tell you, you have to fight your nature, not fight America. Big difference in religious education and secular education. In a religious school, you learn that you have to fight yourself. Everywhere else you're taught more or less you have to fight America. America's not perfect, but we're really imperfect. You have to spend your life fighting your nature. Then you'll be a good person. I don't know how many people want to be a good person. I should talk about that. You want to put that down? Do people really want to be good? I know they want to be successful. They want to be happy. I don't know if they want to be good. They'd like to be, but I don't know how important it is. Ethan, 19, San Luis Obispo, California. Last question. Do you believe that 18-year-olds should receive all the perks, benefits, and responsibilities of being an adult? We are expected to act like adults and have all the burdens of adulthood, such as the draft, jury duty, trial as an adult. However, we do not receive many of the benefits of being an adult, buying alcohol or handguns. Well, first of all, in my tradition, Judaism, you're supposed to act like an adult from 13. Forget 18. At 13, it's called a bar mitzvah. You are, as for all intents and purposes, the community regards you as much as an adult in terms of your personal responsibilities as if you were 50. So it's important. We have deferred the age of personal responsibility. I actually, however, I don't think that, I would like to make a trade. I've mentioned this, I think, on one of these broadcasts. I would make a trade with those who want more restrictions on guns. Let's up the age of ownership to 21 and up the age of voting to 21. If you can't responsibly hold a gun, you can't responsibly vote. I don't know why they're not similar. If you don't know not to shoot innocent people, why the hell should you be allowed to vote? I never heard a good answer to that one. So that's the deal I would make. Let's up the voting age to 21, and let's up the gun buying age to 21. But you should regard yourself, whether or not you're allowed to buy alcohol or guns, you have to regard yourself as a responsible adult from a young age. I don't think 8-year-olds should think that they're irresponsible, that they can be irresponsible. All right, everybody. So I'll see you next week. By the way, I talk about a lot of different things on these fireside chats, so you might want to look up old ones, and they're not really time bound. Even if I talk about something in the news, I try to make it relevant for a long time. Thanks for watching. I'm Dennis Prager. See you next week.